Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Literacy Advocate. I'm your host, Timmy Bauer, and my guest today is Fallon Faroki. She is a library media specialist at Sunset Hill Elementary in Lawrence, Kansas. She has 15 years in education, having served kindergarten through college, 11 years as a classroom teacher, mostly having taught fourth through ninth. She has two master's degrees, one in curriculum and instruction and the other in library science. And she is the blogger behind The Story Spectator and its upcoming podcast one day, if I can get her to do it.
We have to believe in ourselves, right?
Yes. I'm going to get you to make that podcast, and then I want to be a guest on that podcast.
Okay, Timmy.
I'll do your cover art. This is actually a thing that I do. So like the talk that I give at conferences is why you should have a classroom podcast. And then for any teachers that want to do a classroom podcast, I have a design team that works for me. So I will design their podcast cover.
How great.
Yeah. So they just tell me what the title is and I give them like three options for covers.
Nice.
So, great service. So you're in, Fallon, if I can twist your arm hard enough.
Yeah, I would like to try it. Why not?
Yeah, it's not as nerve wracking as most people think. You really just interview. What's cool about it is like, so you review books. Mm-hmm. Well, many of those authors, if you just said, hey, I'd love to have you as a guest on my podcast, The Story Spectator. I'm a book reviewer. They're going to say yes. And you're going to get to talk to people that like, at least for me anyways, whenever I talk to an author that's like well-published, I'm just like, man, I have no business talking to you. But just because I have an anchor account with a cool looking podcast cover, you said yes.
Right.
And then how cool would it be if you can then teach the kids at your school to be the hosts of this show? And now they're interviewing these authors that are out there published and touring.
Yep. I mean, they love it. Anytime I say, you know, I tagged someone, you know, this author and this illustrator in our social media posts and they, you know, liked it or like wrote back something, like the students freak out when they hear that interaction. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. So here's my promise to you, Fallon. If you email me asking me for a podcast cover, I'll send it to you along with, I have a slide deck just on how to run a podcast as a teacher.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So the topic for today has nothing to do with that. You're a librarian and you're constantly hounded by book vendors touting things like permabounds. And it's just one of the struggles of being a librarian is the fact that the books wear out and getting books that don't wear out is extremely expensive. So how big of a problem are we talking? Like how big is this problem?
Well, the books themselves that are built for libraries are built really, really well and securely. And so any of those bound to stay bound books or the perma bound books that you get, you know, if they do ever become damaged or lose pages, the companies replace them for free. So that's the good thing. But the problem is they are quite, you know, more expensive than...
How much do they cost per book?
It just depends on the book. But
what's an average price?
I don't know. I have not gotten one for as long as I can remember. Like that's how bad our budgets are right now.
I remember talking to a librarian that told me that she'll spend, it's in the tens. I can't remember what she said, but I want to say it was somewhere between 25 and 40.
Yep. Yep. That's about right. So as a librarian, if you can get a cheaper bound copy, okay, your money just goes a lot farther. But then on the other end, it's those cheaper bound books aren't meant for the circulation numbers that we see. So after even like five times of a student checking a book out and bringing it back, we might have the pages falling out. That's probably our number one worst problem with the non-library bound books. So we had to solve that problem.
And this couldn't afford the podcast episode is going to sound like an ad for the Cover One. I promise you, we are not sponsored.
No.
Although if Cover One, you know what? Honestly, like I should reach out to them and be like, hey, do you want a sponsorship? Because I just did an episode about how great your product is. But it's not the Cover One, really. It's the process. It's the thing that you're doing to these books. So this to you is the ultimate hack as a librarian. So why don't you go ahead and describe it?
It was. For many years, I did not even know this product existed. And when I came to this district, one of the outgoing librarians, she was retiring, and I asked her, like, what's a tip you can give to me? And she was like, oh, hands down, get yourself a Cover One machine. And then she retired. So I didn't even know what this was. I just wrote it down. And then our local regional library systems sent out an email and said, hey, there's a Cover One rep coming by on Saturday. Anyone who wants to see one in action, come on down and bring like your worst damaged books. That was the challenge. Like the ones that, you know, that are beyond repairable. So I dug through it. We have a book hospital box. I brought my worst items, and the Cover One rep showed us how this works. So essentially you're dissecting the book spine. So you slice, open it up, peel off all the book glue, the gunk, and then instead you place their patented glue strip inside, and then you cover it with parchment paper. Because what you're going to do is place it in their machine, which is like, I call it the book toaster, and it heats up the glue, but it binds together the pages to that glue in like in a minute.
Yeah.
And so what we used to do was open up the spine, pour book glue in there, and have to basically bind it up for days, maybe even a week, before a student could check it out again.
Okay.
And so with the Cover One, you can repair books like within a minute. Amazing. And it dries so fast. And then the best part is that you can get books.
I feel like an infomercial.
I know. I don't ever say this really about anything, any kind of product, because book repair is not my favorite part of librarianship, but it's necessary. But the best part is that the glue, you don't need a lot of glue for it. Uh-huh. So you just cut the pieces that you need. So we're able to keep books in longer circulation without having to tape, because that's the worst thing. And they get all out of sorts, and kids don't want to check out ugly books.
Are they really? They won't picky. Check it out if it's like bumpy.
Not as likely. Like they want things that are nice too, you know, just like you and I.
So. So about how long does a book last after it's been Cover One rebound?
We have not, I need to double check with our library media assistant, but we have not had a book that she has repaired with it come back because of books, of pages falling out.
Yeah.
And I was doing the math, because last time we talked, I'm like, I don't know how much glue and having to reorder the supplies. I've had the Cover One for 2 years now, and I have not had to reorder the glue from the first shipment.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's about 25 cents worth of glue per book that you're repairing.
Okay.
Which is not bad.
Yeah. How much does the Cover One cost?
Okay. So if you were to get it from their website, which is the only they sell it, it's about $1,000.
Okay.
And then, you get extra pieces with that. So you have to buy the glue. I did not have $1,000. So our school does the Scholastic Book Fair twice a year.
Yeah.
And we had so much fundraising money, I was able to buy one with the Scholastic catalog, which doesn't take the money. It takes your fundraising dollars.
Nice.
So that was $1,100 of our school's fundraising money went towards that. But we get a lot of our books from Scholastic because of the fundraising, and those are not library bound. The ones that we get like from the warehouse, which I know a lot of librarians do. So getting books that.
All right. So Fallon, I lost you for a second, but you were just saying something about you get your books from Scholastic, and the books that you get from Scholastic are not the books that are going to last forever.
Right. And so many of our classroom teachers also get their classroom library books from Scholastic. And so I even let them know if your book, your pages are falling out, don't try to tape them in and have it be all bulky. Just give them to us here in the library and we'll repair, you know, your classroom books for you too. And that's really helped a lot as well.
Yeah. This is honestly like, it's so funny because it's just like we're recording an ad and people could Google this, but the reality is you as a librarian did not know about this. And there's probably a lot of people listening that don't know about this hack.
Yeah. And in library school, I mean, we had courses on, you know, budgeting and programming and book, you know, children's literature and all of this, but the repair side is where I was lacking. So yeah. I didn't know. I used the book glue, like I saw in the book tape.
Yeah.
I had no idea that you could repair the spines in such a cool way.
Have you tried, you were mentioning something before we hit record about knockoffs.
Yes. And I don't want to, you know, say knockoff because I don't know much about this company, but I'm in a Facebook librarian group.
And well, we're not going to get their sponsorship.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'll take either sponsorship if it's a good product. Anyway, well, sorry, go ahead.
Just that the other librarians were mentioning how much they coveted a Cover One machine. And yeah. Several other people said, well, did you know on Amazon, you can buy a thermobind for about $300 rather than the $1,000. And I have not ever used a thermobind, so I don't know, but it looks very similar to a Cover One. So if you're even on a budget on the hack, you could go for a thermobind and see how that works with your collection.
Somebody needs to do an official test of a thermobind
side by side
versus a Cover One. Mm-hmm. And I think I know the librarian to do it, Fallon.
Well, if you would like to send me a thermobind, I would happily test it out.
You know what? Ooh, I'm going to reach out to them. I'm just going to reach out to them and see what happens.
Okay.
That'd be fun. That would be honestly a lot of fun. This has been a hyper tactical episode. Fallon, thank you for being on. How can listeners connect with you?
Well, they can go to our school library Instagram. It's Sunset Hill Eagles Library. And I have a Twitter account at F Faroki. And then the Story Spectator blog.
And podcast.
And soon to be podcast.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Fallon.
Thanks, Timmy. This was an honor.